Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. I read for you again these words, beginning at the end of verse 4. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, we are on the way to meet Christ who comes to us in the flesh. And the Sundays of Advent this year are leading us to follow a path commonly used in prayer. That is, first praise, which we thought about last Sunday, then confession, then thanksgiving, and then our requests. Well, as I said, last Sunday we looked at where we are going and resulted in praise at seeing the kingdom of God, which we are seeking. This Sunday's readings remind us that one of the first steps along the way is repentance. As one of the first steps in construction is clearing out what's there. And one of the first steps in getting ready for a celebration is cleaning up the mess in the house. We should make ourselves familiar with these pathways of praise, repenting, thanksgiving, and asking God's help, because this is a constant process over and over again in our lives. As we look at our text, we see that the way things are is constantly eroding. The way of life is to be caring and bearing fruit. And so the way of salvation is Christ's work in us. Let's think first about how the way things are is constantly eroding. We read in our text, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. The word for valley here in the original language means a ravine with steep sides. Why? Because it's been washed by erosion. Erosion is a constant problem in dry and barren areas. It's also a constant problem in society. Verse 1 dates the ministry of John the Baptist and of Jesus, showing how it connects to real events in real history, other real people, but other realities of the time as well, including changing political and social issues. It's showing us not only the time, but that it was a difficult time to be proclaiming the gospel message of God's kingdom. The path of history runs through peaks and valleys, and this time was one of those valleys. Tiberius Caesar, who followed the great Caesar Augustus, Tiberius was a madman. His reign was known for political scheming and intrigue, and corruption tends to breed more corruption. And so it was an unstable time with periods of famine and inflation. These problems were reflected in local politics in the area of John. After the powerful Herod the Great, who was king when Jesus and John were born, his territory was broken into quarters, and so were ruled by tetrarchs, that means one who rules a quarter, small-time politicians like Licinius and Philip Herod. Religious life was also in chaos. The high priest, who was supposed to hold his position for life, who was Annas, was replaced by one appointed by the Roman authorities because the Romans were controlling things. And so his son-in-law Caiaphas was the one in the official position while he was sort of the power behind things. They were doing it together. The point is that the way of this world is always peaks and valleys, constant erosion. If you follow the news, you could say the same thing about our society today. No wonder people today also, but at that time, are attracted to an outsider, a politically incorrect man from the wilderness, not the seat of power, who speaks boldly, although this one doesn't speak carelessly. He declares that God is going to level out the peaks and valleys, but his way of doing it is not politics or those in powerful positions, but working in our own personal lives. The way to live, he shows us, is caring and bearing fruit. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be content with your wages." John goes on to here to say that God is winnowing and clearing his threshing floor. In threshing, the wheat that has been gathered and cut is beaten with flails or in one way or another, not to damage it, but to knock the good grain off of the stalks, the straw, and the chaff. And then it's winnowed, that is, it's thrown into the wind to separate the heavier grain that falls in a pile nearby from the chaff that is blown away into a pile that is eventually burned. During difficult times, such as when we also live, we may feel that we are being beaten up, not just by forces in society and culture, but by God himself. This does not mean, however, that we are being abandoned and tossed away by him, but that we are being prepared for the wind of the Spirit to move us in a different direction from the rest. When the beating and the burning starts, like when road construction starts tearing things up, the vermin and the vipers and the critters start going scurrying away. In other Gospels, the Pharisees are called a brood of vipers. But you notice in Luke's Gospel here, his account, it's the whole crowd who are brood of vipers. That would include us as well. We are to recognize that the seed of Satan is at work planting seeds, planting weeds in the hearts of all of us. We are not naturally born children of God. We are conceived and born in sin, and that bears fruit in our lives. We can't claim God's blessings based on our heritage or because of our parents any more than John's audience can. In difficult times, the temptation, then, is to just look out for ourselves at the expense of others, to keep an eye on authority for what we can get away with, instead of keeping our eye on God and how he is working to keep us away from sin. Especially in difficult times like today, we find ourselves speaking hurtful, deceiving, or angry things, doing careless things because that's easiest at the time, thinking hateful or arrogant things that produce as fruits hurt in the lives of others, more difficulties for ourselves, and a bad image for our God. In the Old Testament reading today, Malachi, the prophet, says God is going to come in judgment against those who swear falsely, against adulterers, against those who mistreat hired workers and widows and orphans, and against those who push aside sojourners. What's a sojourner? It's a foreigner, an alien in the land. Is this happening today? I think all of these things are. In contrast, today's epistle pleads that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Because of his living in the wilderness, something John may have lived for at least a time with the Essenes. That's a Jewish group that's not mentioned in the Bible, but it was a group that thought because of all the corruption in culture, you should just get away from the rest of society and live out in isolation. Is John preaching the message of the Essenes, however? Notice when people ask what to do as they live out their lives of repentance, separation from society is not what John calls them to do. When he's asked by tax collectors and soldiers, the very worst symbols of the corrupt and worthless government, what they should do, he does not tell them, stop being a tax collector. Stop fighting wars. Instead, he tells them to fulfill their vocation, that is, their role within society, in honesty, with integrity, as civil servants, rather than abusing their positions of power and acting selfishly. His answer to all the rest is similar. They all need to repent, that is, to have a change of heart and fruit, that is, a change of life that flows from this change of heart. And it's not some special religious act that he calls for, being hermits, but simply fulfilling the role in which God has placed them as parents, as workers, as neighbors, living in caring relationships with those who are around them, and so helping and sharing with those who are in need. So, is this the fruit that will keep the tree from being cut down? Is this what will save us from the wrath that is to come, a changed life? Is it being nice instead of naughty that's going to get us God's gifts? No. The way of salvation is Christ's work. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. It's easy to hear the bad news of the law in John's message, but Luke points out for us he is preaching the good news of the gospel. That is, that John is not Christ, the Savior. Doing the things that he calls us to do is not the way of salvation, although it is a step on the way of being ready for salvation. The way of salvation is the good that Christ himself does for us. When the valleys are being eroded and by corruption and are then being filled in, when the hills of pride and abusive power are being cut down, what comes to be seen then is the salvation of God. That is, the salvation that God himself works. It is not the threat of punishment or of doom that produce genuine changes in the hearts of people, but it's the wonderful promises of God's love and mercy. It is not what we do to improve our way of living, but what Christ does for us to give us new life. God himself can indeed raise us from stones, children for Abraham, and that's exactly what he is doing. He works on our cold and stony hearts to transform us into living stones that are part of his temple in which he himself lives. How does he do this? With the same tools that John used, that is, water and the Word. John's preaching and baptizing in the wilderness is following the same path that ancient Israel followed when they came out of slavery in Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea into the wilderness, where they were formed into God's people. God is leading us on the same path through our baptism, where God's Word works to cause faith. John reminds us that our baptism is not the same as his. His baptism was a baptism using water for repentance. Christ's baptism does much more. It brings us through repentance to new life, because our baptism includes the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes into us and burns in our hearts, giving us new desires to be living as God's people. God leads us to himself by quenching our sins. What is it that quenches the fire of the wrath to come? It's water. The water of life, which is Jesus himself. This is why every single day we need to live in our baptisms, by the continued work of that very word in our lives, recognizing and repenting of our sins every day, receiving his forgiveness to ground that old sinful self in us every day, having new lives revived by his grace every day. This needs to keep on happening in our lives again and again and again. Because the way things are in the world and also in our lives is constantly eroding. The way to live is caring and bearing fruit in our vocations as we fulfill our roles within society. But the way of salvation is Christ's work within us, through his word and his sacraments, washing us clean of our sins, quenching our burning desires for what is wrong, giving us instead desires for what is right, fueled and fed by his word, which produces the good fruits of love as God's grace and forgiveness works in our lives. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.